Well, last night, somebody said to me, "This is going to be your last sermon here. You better make it a good one." I said, "You know, I don't really know if it'll be that good, but I can guarantee you it'll be long." So, there we are. I'm kind of nervous being up here this morning, by the way. I'm looking around. I hear that there's like a trap door in the stage that pastors who annoy people too much get dropped into. I'll try not to do that this morning. Well, listen, as we wrap up our time together, and as we wrap up this series that I've been doing on Joseph, there's one more that God has laid on my heart to share with you, and it comes right out of the text. I want to start where we have every single week, and that's with our reality. Our reality is where we are today, what's going on in our hearts and our lives, what we're feeling, what we're thinking, what we're struggling with. And I love that song, and I asked Tristan to sing that this morning, and as always, he did it so beautifully. "The arms that hold the universe are holding you tonight. Be still and know He's in control. He will never let you go." There's something about holding on to that reality that's the beginning point of everything else. To absolutely trust and know that the one who holds the universe is holding on to us. It's that with-me-ness of God. We talk about it often at Christmas time, Emmanuel, God with us, but really, really with us. Loving us, holding us, embracing us, caring for us, hearing us, understanding us, anticipating our needs. If you're not there yet, then that's the beginning of the journey for you, because that's where everything else flows out of. To last week where we talked about God not only with us, but God through us accomplishing something happening, a plan. God having a purpose that runs through what's going on in my life. I may not have it all figured out. That's okay. But to believe and imagine what God may be up to and to begin to understand it. And that itself is the building block from God with me to God having a plan through my reality to God having a plan, listen, God having a plan beyond my reality. Beyond. And that's where I want to leave us today. With something beyond. But listen, hear this very clearly. This is not a message about some pie in the sky, out there, unattainable, unimaginable, untouchable thing. I'm talking about something beyond that you and I need to reach toward. We need to live into. We need to figure it out. Because that's part of God's plan for us. And that's what I want to address with you today. Listen, if I didn't believe this with all my heart, I would not be doing what we are setting out, this crazy thing. Some of you said to me this morning, "You know, it's kind of crazy what you're doing, isn't it?" Well, if you get to know me, it kind of fits, right? It is a crazy thing. But it's not so crazy. It's what God has settled into my heart as He's peeled back onion layers of understanding to say, this is the beyond I want you to go toward. It sometimes, frankly, feels like I've stepped off of a cliff with a parachute that I'm not quite sure will open yet. And I don't know what is at the bottom. But I just know God said, jump. And I finally said, okay. Sometimes in life, my friends, that's what God calls us to do. To take a jump. That some people call it a leap of faith. I almost don't like the term because it has the idea of like this chaotic thing. It's not chaos at all. It is pre-planned. It is guided and directed every step of the way. But for us as humans, it is a step off a cliff. So let me talk to you today about God's plan beyond my reality. And it comes right out of the text in the story of Joseph. Take your Bibles, please, and open up. Page 54 is the text we're looking at. It's the last chapter of the book of Genesis. Now, just a quick recap as you're going there. Page 54, the story of Joseph. By the way, There's a few of you here today who have been with the whole journey. Some of you come back to visit, and I'm so grateful you guys are here. You'll remember that I preached this series, a series like this, I've adapted and changed it, back in October of 1994, 15 years ago. But it's so relevant for us again today. In the story of Joseph, this guy who, you know, we've got Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob has 12 sons. One of the 12 is Joseph. He's the favorite. He gets the multicolored, technicolored dream coat. Remember that? Okay. He's all this favoritism stuff. He goes from being favored to being forgotten, thrown in a pit, sent off in slave chains off to Egypt because his brothers despised him. And so there he is wandering out there, and he gets into Potiphar's house, and then things get better, and then he gets thrown into prison, and then he ends up, guess what? He ends up second in Pharaoh's court. Favored to forgotten to Pharaoh's court. It's like this remarkable journey that he goes on. But in the course of his life, there are so many things that happen. He has to come to recognize that God has stuff beyond what he can see. He's got to look into the future. He's got to lean into it. He's got to begin to live what he can't even see in full frame yet. It's like fuzzy. You know, for some of you who have bad eyesight, you take your glasses off. Like you can make out images, you can see, but you can't see clearly. That's so often the case for us in this journey, this spiritual journey that we're on. And Joseph had very much the same. Now, what I want you to look at is the last, oh, maybe eight verses or so, verse 22 and on of chapter 50. Most people, when they read the book of Genesis, their memory of Genesis ends with verse, oh, let's say 19 and 20, where Joseph is talking to his brothers after his dad has died, and he says to them, don't be afraid, because they're scared that he's going to take revenge on them. He says, don't be afraid, am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And it's like a feel-good ending, right? But that's not where it ends. The book of Genesis starts with beginnings, and it ends with bones. Of all the crazy things. It starts with the beginning of the universe and the creating of the world as we know it, and God's work with people and all this stuff, and it ends with bones. Look at it, verse 22 and on. Joseph stayed in Egypt along with his father's family. He lived 110 years and saw the third generation of his kids. Ephraim's children, also the children of Machir, son of Manasseh, were placed at his birth on Joseph's knees. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and will take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph made the sons of Israel swear an oath and said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must take my bones up from this place. So Joseph died at 110, and after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. Why does it end with bones? What's this about? And Joseph asking for his bones to be carried up out of Egypt. Well, you may know the story that God promised to this group of people who came out of Ur, the Chaldees, that they would settle in this place called Israel or Palestine. And yet, because of the famine, they ended up in Egypt, a faraway country. God was saying, you're coming back. Joseph had a sense of that. Now, you might say, well, okay, that's just a nice postscript, you know, how some authors have like this afterthought after their book is written. No, it's much more than that. I know it because it's referred back to. Trace this with me. Exodus 13, verse 19. Let's put that up on the wall. Exodus 13, verse 19. So here you've got 450 years after this event. Now, it's the nation of Israel has grown within the womb of Egypt, but it's been turmoil. They have been slaves and beaten on for years, hundreds of years. And now, 450 years later, God comes to set them free. And look what happens. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid. Not always in the timing that we would like, right? But God will come to your aid. And then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. So he did that. And then they did this wilderness wandering thing for 40 years. Remember that? Because of their rebellion and activity against God. But then in Joshua, let's flip over to that one. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 32, we're told, so here they are now, finally they get into the promised land, and we're told Joseph's bones, which the Israelites had brought up from Egypt, were buried at Shechem in the tract of land that Jacob bought for 100 pieces of silver from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. So here they are. They're brought. They're carried up out of Egypt. They're carried around the wilderness. Nobody lost them. They get taken to Shechem and they're buried there. Let's take a look at this picture. This is the traditional burial site of where Joseph is laid to this day. In the New Testament, one more time, crazy stuff, you know, all this talk about bones. In Hebrews 11, this hall of faith representation of all the people who lived with trust in God's future work. All these people, we're told about Joseph in Hebrews 11, 22. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. Isn't it crazy? Like, how often is this discussion? What do bones represent? For Joseph and for the Israelites, they represented something beyond his present reality. I mean, frankly, when I die, I don't care what happens to my bones. I'm not going to be around to think anything about it. It doesn't matter to me. But for Joseph, the carrying of his bones out of Egypt back to Israel was a representation, a symbol of hope. And not just for him, but for his extended family. It was a symbol of hope for his kids, Manasseh and Ephraim, and for their kids. The symbol of hope that there was something beyond that they could look forward to and they should be looking for and preparing for. A symbol of hope. The temptation, by the way, for us is to do one of a couple things with reality. If reality is really tough or really joyful, we get stuck on it. We don't ever want to move from this place. Or we just obsess on it. It's so hard. It's so difficult. It doesn't make sense. And you go on, obsessive kind of stuff. Or you try to bypass it. If I could just live in denial of what's really going on, it's like taking the express lanes and missing your cutoff. You just want to avoid it. You want to bypass it. What God wants us to do is to live in our reality with a beyond perspective. Hebrews, by the way, is full of that kind of language, isn't it? Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we don't see. Certain of what we don't see. Meaning we're living towards something we can't yet fully understand. That's why I think about it in terms of onions. You peel a layer back and you see the next. You know there's more layers coming, but you can't understand exactly how it's all going to work itself out. It's not quite all figured out. Listen, if we're going to, in the next part of this message, we're going to try to really apply this. What does this mean? What does this look like? But for the last time, I got to say this to you. As I wrap up my ministry here, that in order for this stuff to really make sense and for you to go the next level with it, you first got to start with the belief that Jesus is real and really with you. In the culture we live in today, in the communities around us, and I hear this story from so many people, it's all about religion, these forms, these rituals, these traditions. But the person of Jesus who died on the cross for our sins, who I have come to surrender my life to and commit myself to live for day by day, is not real. Oh, we say it is. Yeah, I believe in God. But it doesn't really make a difference. I want you to think about that as you watch this short video that we came across. Let's watch it.
Hey, I'm Ryan. I'm a Christian, and this is my story. Growing up, I never missed going to church. When I was 12, I accepted Christ as my Savior. I was even baptized. It undoubtedly was a very important decision. It even affected how I lived in high school. I mean, don't get me wrong. I had fun on the weekends. I had a girlfriend, a couple, but I was a normal high school kid. College was one big blur, but I did make it to church out of obedience. And after school, I married a great girl, and she's been a great influence on me. Life's been good. I have a house, three kids. I couldn't ask for more. I mean, sure, I worry about my future. I mean, my marriage, it could be better. And I need to spend more time with my kids, but things will be all right. I have my faith. You may not hear me talk about it a lot, but it's just because it's personal. But don't worry for me. My Jesus is real.
One of the things that has driven my passion in ministry is seeing that reality lived out time and again in people's lives. Yeah, I got belief. I got faith. Yeah, I go to church. You know, if I can just, you know, treat my neighbor really well, God will be happy with me. He'll accept me. I come because I feel guilty. I come out of obedience. All my friends, in order for us to live with a sense of purpose, your religion has to become real. Jesus has to be real. And I frankly have come to deeply respect those who say he's not real for me, at least not yet. But I'm honest about it. I'm much more concerned about those who are going through the motions and for whom it fundamentally makes no difference for how they live their life. It's the form, but not the reality of faith. What I want to share with you next is dependent upon something real, where you have surrendered the need to Jesus and it makes a difference and it changes your life. Are you listening? It changes your life in fundamental ways. And then we get to experience something that I call beyond hope. Now that sounds weird, doesn't it? I'm not saying you're beyond hope, okay? What I'm saying is there is something out there called beyond hope. It is a hope that looks a confidence, that looks into the future and begins to grapple with and grab onto the things that God has in store for us next. It's a confidence that comes from knowing Jesus is my Lord and my Redeemer and my leader. And that He has a plan through my reality. And He has a plan beyond. Joseph, at the end of his life, finally made that shift. He had been so self-focused for so many years. And then at the end, he talks about his bones, not for his sake, because he had finally gotten it that God was doing something for the future generations. He was thinking about his kids, his grandkids, his great-grandkids, and beyond. And he was leaning into it, praise God. And so he experienced something that you and I can experience too. Let me try to wrap our minds around it this way. Christ Community Church. Sometime before 1983, a couple people who I don't know got together and said, hey, we need to start a new church out in Naperville. And they were clearly looking beyond, not just God with me, not God through, but saying, there's something out there I think God wants to do in that area. We got to do something about it. And the church began. In 1993, after a couple of years of some difficulty, a group of the leaders got together and they said, we believe there's something beyond this. And we need to lean into it. We can't just wait for it to happen. We got to go toward it. In about 1997, give or take a year, While we were still meeting at Gregory Middle School, a group of us got together and we said, you know, that property we own on the corner of Book and 95th Street in Naperville, where we had a couple acres, is not going to be big enough for what God, we believe God has planned. We can't quite see it all, but we believe that there's something else. And so we came and we checked out different properties. And if you saw me get pretty emotional last night at one point when Ingrid was talking, it was about walking around this property and praying. And it was one of those moments that God has done for me and will do for you too, where He peels back an onion layer and says, that's the beyond I want you to go toward. I had such a conviction on my heart. And God put it on others too. But that was a moment for me where He said, that's where. I didn't know how it was going to work out. We hadn't even voted on it yet. But I knew this is where we were going to be. It was an entire God thing. It's not about me at all. It's about God. And so we ended up here. And then we ended up in 03 here in the building. And now here we are, January 10, 2010. The question is, what's beyond? What's the beyond that God wants you and your family and this church family to reach toward, to live toward? What's the beyond? Another moment that was particularly meaningful to me was listening to Ingrid. I didn't know anything she was going to share. She wouldn't tell me ahead of time. When she talked about that rough spell we went through 10 years ago. And how by God's grace, as she went through rehab and as I went through my own period of recovery and relearning some things in my life, how God surrounded us with love and care with us through you. And how through us and this church, God had a plan. But guess what? There was something beyond it. And the beyond it has come about in the development of marriage ministries and of recovery ministries for people struggling with addiction issues. And so we have dozens, if not hundreds of people who have come through the doors of this church, who have received help for all these kind of things. God had something beyond what our pain was 10 years ago. Do you know that if you're going through a painful time, that God has not just a plan to help you through it, but God has something beyond it He's going to bring out of it? Can you hold on to that this morning? You might not see it yet. It might be awfully murky. And you might want to just focus in on the media. But God says, while living in this reality, look beyond, because I got more coming. I got more coming. And that's what Joseph was about with his bones. God's got something beyond. And this crazy thing that I absolutely am at peace about doing, and yet I have got so little of it figured out. From a business perspective, it's insanity. But I absolutely believe it's what God wants me to do. So January 16, next Saturday, with those who have a heart to be a part of this, we're going to have a meeting at my house. We're going to begin to talk and pray and strategize and figure it out. We're looking beyond. It really does feel like I've jumped off a cliff and don't know what the ground is like yet. Don't have in mind yet exactly the location. Don't know what place we're going to rent. Don't know exactly who will be on the launch team, how the monetary stuff's going to work out. Beautiful, isn't it? It's what we call reaching beyond. And so the word of the day as we wrap up is this. 2 weeks ago, it was anticipate. Anticipate how God will be with you. Last week, it was imagine. Imagine God's plan through. The word I want to leave you with is the word realize. Fulfill. Lean into, live out the plan that God will reveal for you in onion leaf unwrappings. Lean into it. Realize it. Don't settle for the reality you have now. Never settle. Never settle. Because it ain't over until your body goes into the grave. I've said this to people who are totally incapacitated, laying there with MS and with cancer. I've said it repeatedly in the hospital, and I believe it with all my heart. You're not done until you stop breathing. And if you can't do anything physically, you can pray. Then that's your calling. Lean into the beyond that God has for you. And I don't, by the way, see anybody here who's incapacitated. Lean in. Lean in. Back in 1994, when I preached this series, it was a new beginning. We're in the cafeteria at Gregory Middle School, about 50 people, and we couldn't imagine what this would become. But we knew God was up to something. And we knew God would unlayer it for us, peel it back layer by layer. We began to see next steps. Reach out into the community. Look at other possibilities for where to worship. Make a move to Heritage Grove Middle School. And people before us had done the same thing. Next steps, beyond, beyond. God is working beyond, but it's not a beyond that's pie in the sky. It's a beyond God wants you to realize, and often He makes you realize it through a little bit of struggle. Because through the struggle comes the growth, the trust, the faith, the energy and the passion that puts God first no matter what. The using of your abilities and your tools and the networking with other people, the building of community with others so that you can figure out the beyond and go there. And in all of it, God works a beautiful thing out. And that's the last thing I want to leave with you. That God has called you and me to realize, to live out and fulfill next step stuff. And it never, ever ends. So I came out of the office this morning. I looked at the office right across from mine, and that's Pete Rizzuto's. If you've been in there, you see all the post-it notes up on the ceiling? It's a beautiful thing. But on his door, he has stuck this sign, and you probably can't read it all, and that's okay. I want you to see the number. The number there is 6200. You know what that represents? Anybody know? It's the number of teens that live in this vicinity. Around the church. I don't know how far radius, but not very far. 6,200 teens. And every time I talk with Pete Rizzuto, I am blown away by the sense of beyond that he has. That God is calling this church to keep reaching the teens, the kids, the adults for Christ. And as we go with whoever joins to this church plant, we are going to go beyond. I don't even know who those people are yet. I don't even know what they look like, what their lifestyle. I don't know anything about them. But God is saying, I'll peel that back when I'm ready to show it to you, Fred. Just get going. So my friends, this is how it ends. Live out your faith from a perspective of hope. Because God is with you. He loves you so. Because God has a plan through your reality right now. Because God has something beyond. And His call for us is to realize it by trusting Him and by leaning into the next step of what He's called you to do. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it has been beyond what I could ever have imagined to be a part of this body of friends and to walk the journey of faith personally and with my family with them and to do this thing called ministry. And along the way, God, you have shown us so many beyonds that a year earlier, 2 years earlier, we could not have seen. But you made it clear. And as we kept our eyes on you, God, you unveiled it. And when we failed to look to you, we got muddled and confused and stymied and stalled. God, forgive those times. But thank you that you always re-energized by your Spirit and you drew us back to eyes of hope and of faith. And God, like Joseph of old, may we in this moment look beyond and see that you are still at work and lean into it with whatever that means for us personally as families and as churches so that the net result is your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and more people come to know Jesus and more people grow in Jesus And you receive, God, the honor and the glory. Greater things, God, are still to be done. I know it. May we be faithful to it. God, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.